All right, so this is an interview with NBC 17, and you are?
Correct. Charlotte. And I'm Charlotte.
Charlotte, okay.
Yeah.
And you have not watched the sermon?
I have watched the sermon.
Oh, okay. Most people are watching a clip that has been chopped.
I've watched about 45, or is it an hour?
It's about an hour long. It's a 55-minute sermon.
I've watched the whole way from Raleigh. I watched.
Oh, good. Good so. 3G coverage or 4G coverage or good internet coverage?
Well, we have a little system at work that
even
can
better.
Put it onto his laptop so I could watch it on the way down.
Okay.
You're saying, though, a lot of places have just posted.
That's how it all exploded, Charlotte. It exploded because a blogger in New York took a portion of the video, chopped where he wanted, uploaded it onto his website, and then people got a short little clip of, so, you know, take me completely out of context. Don't give any setting beforehand. Don't give any setting afterwards. Take the part where I say we need to not be homophobic. We need to show the love of Christ. We need to be kind and not rude. Don't include that. So when you do that, you have a great ability to influence people towards a particular bias.
Right. I didn't see, you know, one quote I remember listening was when you did talk about loving homosexuals and inviting them to Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. And that was not included.
That was not included in
it. Of course it wasn't included because there is an agenda here to discredit everything that I said in the entire message.
I'm good to go, Charlotte. Are you going to want questions on? Here, why don't I just do this? You hold this microphone.
Okay.
And we'll do it both ways.
Okay, so first off, Pastor Harris, let's talk about, I noticed in the Fayetteville Observer that you had said that you were joking.
Yeah, I did not use that word.
You did not?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not use the word joking. No, that was an inference that the editor made, the writer, Greg, made with regard to my communication. What I said to him was I should have been more careful and deliberate, but the congregation understood the context that I was communicating in.
Okay. Does your congregation understand? Are you generally kind of a sarcastic? Are your sermons generally energetic and sometimes sarcastic?
Sure, there's always an element of sarcasm in an effort to hold the attention of the audience. What you saw in the sermon was not abnormal. We have a very deliberate, passionate communication methodology. And I use slides and I move around and I want to make sure that the point is accurately communicated and that I don't lose my audience because I'm standing behind a pulpit reading a manuscript.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these more controversial quotes.
Okay.
Let's just lay them out there. The one that we've seen in multiple articles talking about boys dressing like girls, and there's a mention of squashing that like a cockroach.
Right.
Some may find that very offensive.
Absolutely. Some could find that offensive. But the reality is that I believe that God made you woman, and God made me a male. And those gender distinctions are for society's benefit. I do not believe that children are born as boys, but have a genetic disposition to become girls, and so therefore it's okay for them to make this transition in their gender. I even make reference to a problem in Sweden in which they have this genderless daycares, and how inappropriate that is. And that these distinctions were created by God, thus undergirding the North Carolina Marriage Protection Amendment, one man, one woman. I don't want the congregation to think that this is a political idea that we can separate from the Word of God, because the foundation of the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 1, number 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is our foundational belief in this church. Someone should not be surprised that that's being reinforced in an independent Baptist church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the quote to fathers, the second you see that son dropping the limp wrist, you walk over there and crack that wrist. Man up, give them a good punch, okay?
Right.
Again, a lot of people might be irate about that comment.
And we have posted an official retraction of that statement. What you'll notice when I preach is that I use PowerPoint slides. I do not have a manuscript. The disadvantage of not having a manuscript sometimes is you say stupid things, or things that you wish you hadn't said, or things that you wish you'd said differently. That's a perfect example of that. That's just a perfect example. However, even the Lord Jesus himself, Mark chapter number 9, if your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. If your eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out. Now we know that the Lord was not advocating that we take a knife and hack off our hand. He was using hyperbole in an effort to make the point. And the people who listened to me preach every single week understood that I was not advocating that a father would do such a thing. That the context of the sermon, the words that immediately followed with regard to loving homosexuals, provided the balance, provided the context to what I was saying. But if you remove it from the context and you just isolate the quote, then I can clearly understand how someone would be offended. And that's why I issued an official statement of apology that's already being called a non-apology. So at this point, it's almost impossible to apologize enough. My sincerity is being questioned, and that's the way it'll have to be.
But to set the record straight, you do not advocate hitting children.
We have an official statement on the church website that we drew everyone's attention to. And of course we do not advocate hitting children. And I made that clear in the statement that I provided, the retraction, and I'll be happy to provide you a copy of that.
So what did you mean with the comment? I mean, so what are you saying? If a parent has a child who has gay tendencies, then what, without using any physical force, what are you saying parents should do?
Well, first of all, I didn't use the word gay tendencies. Those words are being put in my mouth. I did not use the word gay. I was using the Bible word. And the Bible word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, is effeminate. That's the Bible word. And so parents should not allow their children to cross-dress. Parents should reinforce the gender distinctions and should not allow a boy to begin believing that he actually should be a girl. That dad should reinforce, no, Johnny, God made you the way you are. And you're a father, you're a boy, and you should grow up to be a father. And fathers do certain things. They provide for their family. They're protectors of the wife that you'll marry someday. All those type of oral communications to emphasize the gender distinctions.
Mm-hmm. Is there any part of the sermon that you'd like to take back? Or?
Sure, I would like to take back those exact words in which I said, crack the wrist. I actually used my hand, and I went like that to straighten the wrist. In no way, shape, or form did I think that I was communicating, break the wrist. I was referring. I used my hand, and I said, crack the wrist in an upward motion. Of course, I would love to take those back. If you're married, Charlotte, I bet you there's been times that you've said something to your husband that you wish you could pull those words back. There isn't anyone that's spoken that hasn't wished that they could pull words back. And yes, I wish I could pull those words back. But I make no apology for the fact that I believe that in North Carolina, we need an amendment that protects us from activist judges who would seek to redefine marriage. I make no apologies for the gender distinctions in the Word of God. Could I have been much more careful and deliberate in my words? Yes, I could have been more careful.
Understanding that you're preaching the Bible, where is the line between church and state, the separation of church and understanding that you're preaching the Bible in your sermon, where do you cross the line into merging church and state?
Well, as long as the state gives us a right to vote, then we have a right to communicate to the congregation how a biblical worldview should impact the way they vote. If we don't do that type of communication, then one could rightly ask, what is the purpose of a sermon? If the sermon is not designed to impact the way you live, then what would be the purpose of communicating truth? It's supposed to impact us. Jesus said that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so in the world means I have a right to vote. As long as the state gives me a right to vote, then I need to vote according to my conscience. And as a Christian, my conscience is supposed to be informed by the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been getting a lot of calls and phone calls, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are people upset? Are they taking things out of context? What are you finding?
They are exceptionally intolerant. Yeah. Towards anyone that would suggest that their lifestyle is not legitimate and acceptable. And if you listen to the sermon, I even said that the government permits such a lifestyle. I said that we should not promote it because it does not benefit society. And I believe that's why there's such pushback, because I made a strong case that this behavior is not beneficial for the long-term growth of the United States of America.
What else do you want to say to people?
If I've offended you, I apologize. My intent was not to offend you. If I had thought those words were going to be offensive, I would not have uploaded the sermon to the World Wide Web. If I had not uploaded the sermon to the World Wide Web, you wouldn't be sitting in this office right now. The only reason you're there is because I failed to recognize how offensive these words could have been. And if I had recognized that, I even had the liberty to edit my own video before I uploaded it. And then again, I could have corrected it. So that, to me, communicates the degree to which I did not think that these words were going to be twisted out of context in such a hateful way. If I had thought about that, I could have edited it before we uploaded it, and then the blogger in New York would have never discovered it.
Have you ever encouraged hate against gay lesbians?
No, I have 600 sermons online for you to listen to if you have the time, and you can listen to all of them, and you'll find that no. We have always been careful to distinguish between the behavior that the Bible speaks of and the person who Christ died for.
Okay. Dave, do you have any questions?
No, that's good.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Let me just get a two-shot, you two sitting here.
Here's this.
Wow.